Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to John's Gospel, chapter 4, and the 6th verse. The Gospel according to John, chapter 4, and verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. The Gospel according to John, chapter 4, and verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. We find so often throughout the Word of God, the Lord speaks of the wells which were dug, both right back through the book of Genesis and throughout God's holy word. And of course the wells were vital for them, for water. Now as Jesus goes through Samaria, we find now Jacob's well was there. It may have been that Jacob dug the well. It may have been that he and his family drank much from it, why they called it Jacob's well. But on this occasion, something very blessed was to take place. The dear Lord Jesus was wearied, and he sat on this well. And what directed me to this word was, as I woke yesterday morning, this word seemed to drop in with a sweet measure of power. And I thought, well, how can I venture to preach from it? But a few things immediately seemed to come to one's heart. First of all, it was a sacred well, not just because Jacob or his family would have drunk from it, but it was a sacred well because the Saviour was there. Now, that was the first thing that seemed to come. And I would lovingly set that before you this afternoon. You know, the places the Lord brings his dear people into can be very sweet and sacred places when the Lord is there. And we think of here in Samaria, the dear Saviour was there, sitting upon the well. But then the second reason that we name it is because of the condition, and I speak this with much reverence, that the Saviour felt to be in at that time. We need to ever remember that the dear Redeemer, though Son of God, yet took upon himself human flesh. And here we have the illustration of it. He was wearied. And he could well have been wearied by the journey. The reason being, if you look it up, Samaria was about 40 miles from Jerusalem. And there's no doubt the disciples and the Lord Jesus had walked those 40 miles. And you could well understand the dear Redeemer being wearied. But it came to me, thirdly, this is exactly what many of the Lord's people feel today. They're wearied. There are many things to make the child of God weary. But let me, before I come into that, just say something for the encouragement of the weary soul this afternoon. And it's this. You may think, with the things that weary you, and I want to look at them in a moment, well, am I one of God's dear children? Am I in the narrow way? I feel so weary. And the road seems to get harder and darker and rougher. But poor soul, you consider the dear Redeemer. The sympathy there is in his heart to those that are weary even this afternoon. Because he knew what it was to feel wearied. And he can well sympathise with them that are weary. Because he has known the same. I love that couplet of the hymn, where the hymn writer said, touch with a sympathy within. He knows our feeble frame. He knows what sore temptations mean, for he has felt the same. And well can he sympathise with those that are weary. And so we find the dear Saviour being, Jesus therefore being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. There's no doubt the dear Redeemer as a man could well appreciate what it was to sit on that well and to bless the Lord for it. And how many times when we have been wearied, have we blessed the Lord for somewhere to sit or somewhere to lie? But may the Lord help me just briefly this afternoon to look about at this wearied soul. What is really making you weary this afternoon? Well, firstly, our sin makes the child of God very weary. What does the hymn writer say? Weary of earth, myself and sin. Do you know what it is when you're so weighed down and burdened by your sin, you feel so weary? And the Lord makes his people feel this. It's not just weariness of body. And weariness of mind, they're verily weighed down with that weariness because of the weight and burden of sin. And that's why the Saviour gave that beautiful word of encouragement to weary sinners. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What a sweet invitation to these weary souls, isn't it? You think of the dove. When Noah sent her forth from the ark, the floods were still abroad across the earth. We read that she found no rest for the sole of her foot. And as she circles around over this great flood, nowhere to rest. The only place was in the ark. And oh, what a beautiful illustration that is for the child of God to come to the dear Lord Jesus, the Ark of Grace. What are we singing in the hymn? In the Ark, the weary dove found a welcome resting place. Thus my spirit longs to prove, rest in Christ, the Ark of Grace. Oh, poor soul, with all your weariness this afternoon, there is a blessed resting place. Oh, what a resting place this well was for the dear Saviour. He needed it. But, there's a blessed resting place for the weary sinner in Christ. And resting in Him, they have a sure resting place. A blessed place they can rest. A resting place that will never fail. But then, sometimes we're weary because of maybe burdens that we have that no man sees. They're heart burdens. Or it may be you've got a burden because of the opposition of Satan. Oh, what a burden Satan is to the child of God. It really burdens them down, weighs them down. And they become weary of the temptations, weary of his onslaughts, weary because he gives the sinner no rest. But poor soul, for your weary soul there is a blessed resting place. May we continually resort there, like the ark was to the dove, the place where you could go. But then, sometimes the exercises of our hearts weary us. We might become weary. I think particularly, and the Lord's servants know it so often, where they're weary because of the weight and the burden of the ministry. Many times, you see, we feel, well, we cannot carry it any longer. And it wears many of the servants of God down, the great weight. And you see, it's not just the weight of the word, it's the weight of the souls that we try and preach to. Because the day of judgment, you see, we shall have to give an account. And think how solemn it'll be if we set a sinner down short. When Paul left the church at Ephesus, you read Acts at your leisure, chapter 20, and you will find he says this, I am free from the blood of all men. The Lord enabled him to faithfully set before not only the church at Ephesus, the other church he ministered to, the whole gospel of Christ. And as he preached Christ to those poor souls that were weary, the Lord wonderfully blessed the word to them. But oh, the weight of it, you see. The apostle knew what it was to be weary. But then sometimes it's in providence, isn't it? The troubles in maybe in business. It may be in work. And they weary us, make us very weary. It's not just a body of mind, but it makes the soul weary. You may have wondered why we read together that chapter in the book of First Book of Kings concerning Elijah. In trying to prayerfully think upon this text, it came to me last evening quite powerfully. You know, here was a dear man that was weary. He was weary because, first of all, of the great weight and burden of the of being a prophet in Israel. He was weary too because of the opposition from Ahab and Jezebel. They were continually out to destroy Elijah. And if you've got a real religion, poor soul, if it's not the devil, it will be man trying to destroy you. And it'll make you so weary. And dear Elijah was, wasn't he? He even lay down and asked the Lord that he might die. Well, you know, the Lord gave him that beautiful word, and it's a very precious word to me, as I've told you before. The Lord sent his angel down, didn't he? And that second time, the angel said to him, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." The Lord knew how weary dear Elijah was. And he knows with you how weary you are. But oh, think of the Saviour. When you become weary, or I become weary, not to just look at that weariness and what is causing it, but there's a sweet answer to it all. And the answer is this: "For consider him that he endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." The trouble is, we become so weary by things. We're looking at them, they sink us low a lot, they did Elijah, when we should be considering him. There's the sweet answer to it, you see. "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." And when we're considering all the things that make us weary, what happens? We're immediately fainting in our minds, aren't we? When we should be considering him. And now, when you become weary, and really this was a solemn lesson to me, because I thought how many times I felt so weary. But you think of the Saviour. Here as he journeyed those with the disciples, those 40 miles. He felt the weariness. Because he knew what it was to endure this for his dear people. And what it was to be weary. And oh my, we be helped, but to continue in that weariness, to look to him, to cast all our weary state upon him. There's a sacred word seemed to drop in as we came here this afternoon. And may the Holy Spirit sweetly apply this to some weary soul. You see, before I name it, there are many other things to make you weary. But listen, there's affliction sometimes upon us makes us very weary. When there's pain, when there's discomfort, when there's afflictions upon us, we know not what the issue will be or how we shall fare in them. And they make us weary, don't they? But listen to the wonderful word of the Lord to his weary church in Isaiah. And what does the Lord say? "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. He's not weary. The Lord isn't to you crying unto him, bringing your case and your burdens to him. You may say, oh, but there are times when the Lord seems to turn a deaf ear. But poor soul, he tarries off till men are faint and comes at evening light. There is no searching of his understanding. But these were the words that seemed so sweet and powerful to me. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But then listen. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Oh, may the Holy Spirit whisper that word into some weary soul this afternoon. Because in it is life, in it is power. In it is everything you need, not only today in all your weariness, but in the days to come. But what a mercy there is, a blessed resting place. To these weary souls. Now, Jacob's well was there, Jesus therefore being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the 6th hour. And now not only was he weary, but he was faint and he was thirsty. That's why he came to the well. And what about the, and he was hungry. What about the disciples? They'd been sent away to buy meat. And here we find the precious Son of God, who had all power in heaven and in earth, stooping so low to be weary, to be hungry, to be thirsty, to be faint for his dear people. And oh, the sympathy. Go back to where I started from. There is found in him. You know, if you come into trouble or affliction or pain or loss or crosses, who are they that are sympathised with you? Most of all, it'll be those that have walked in it. Because they know exactly how you feel. Or they do. And think of the Saviour here in a far greater way, can sympathise with his servants, with his dear people, with all those that are weary. We can. And he does. But before I leave it this afternoon, there's another point that is very searching and yet very blessed. And it's this. We read, I think it's in the book of Job, that where the wicked cease from troubling, there the weary shall be at rest. And though the world and the ungodly, the wicked, will know weariness, they've nowhere to go in it. But oh, with the real child of God, there's a blessed resting place. I was thinking of the resting place that the apostle spoke of in the Hebrews. There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. And you see, when the child of God comes to the end, he delivers them from all the weariness they've had through the journey of earth. All the years of labour, all the weary places they came into, there the weary shall be at rest. You see, the wicked then, when death comes, will cease from troubling because their life is finished. But with the child of weary child of God, it's different. They've got rest. There's no rest for the wicked. Think how solemn and how searching are to be among these weary souls fleeing to Christ, casting all their cares upon Him, looking to Him, who is the health and strength and rest of His dear people. Oh, He is. Well, of course, as we think of the ordinance and the Lord's Supper, we think of the dear Redeemer. How dark a place it was when He administered it just before going into the Garden of Gethsemane and to Calvary. He knew what it was to be weary as He goes through those great sufferings. And I remind you what often I've said. Where the Lord God of heaven, His beloved Father, sent His angel to strengthen Him. And may we know that sweet strengthening in our souls, in our minds, in our bodies. Well, I've only hinted at a few things in this blessed word, but consider the Saviour in all His weariness, and not just yours. Well, I'll leave it for His name's sake. Amen.